Okay, so yesterday we started discussing what the Gemara is thinking when it compares and derives Macha Abdi Klata, Rav Macha in front of three, from the case of Lashon Hara, which we said really doesn't make any sense, right, Ezra? Right. So we saw two radical models, radical only in the sense that you've never heard of them because, you know, you've grown up in the Chavos Chaim. I'm sure you've grown up in the Chavos Chaim. But even those of you who did not go to a school which is eponymously named for him, then fine. Morning. So we saw one position was the Gilui Sod model, which is to say that Lashon Hara is really breaching confidentiality. And the way it goes is like this. Since something you say in front of one or two people is considered, can be considered confidential, so therefore it's forbidden to share the information as is presumed to be secret. If you say it in front of three people, so it's presumed to be non-secret and public. And that's all we need for mecha'a, is that we need the standards in place to assume that the mecha'a is a public protest rather than a private protest, and that's all we need. Once we can check that box off, so then we're fine. And that's the comparison between Lashon Hara and mecha'a. And you can either take an exclusivist position, like the Shilchot of Rabbi Chaigon, the Hashlama, to say that Lashon Hara only ever refers to breach of confidentiality. Or you take the Ritva's position, which is to say Lashon Hara encapsulates multiple halakhic categories, both the breach of confidentiality and gossip. And in our sugya, what we're talking about is the breach of confidentiality. That's the relevance to Macha.
He
just thinks it's an expansive category.
They have a lot of topics that are loosely related to each other.
Yeah, and they all go under Lishna Misha. I don't know. He doesn't give us more than that. So that's what he says. The Urayim, following the triple statement in Erchen, who says that Lashon Hara is not problematic ba'ape mara, in front of the person about whom you're speaking, two, Rabbi Yossi's claim that he never had to turn around and worry about who was behind him when he said Lashon Hara, and three, the position of ape klata, that something said in front of three is not Lashon Hara. He says the issue here is not whether the original information is from Lashon Hara, but actually saying it in front of three makes it not Lashon Hara. Why? Because according to him, Lashon Hara is not gossip, it's being two-faced and hypocritical. So if I'm willing to say it to your face, it's not Lashon Hara. If I'm willing to say it publicly, so I know you'll find out about it, it's not Lashon Hara. Again, the link for him between the Mecha Sugya and the Lashon Hara sugya is that since Lashon Hara is about being two-faced, and in order to make yourself not be hypocritical, you have to say it publicly, meaning you're willing to face the consequences. So that's the same by Macha'a. If I say it publicly, that means that I'm sure it'll get back to the squatter, just like I'm sure the information will get back to the person about whom I'm speaking. And that was the array. What we left off with yesterday, then, is, okay, but what if we grew up on the Rambam Chafetz Chaim model and think that Lashon Hara means gossip? So then, why, or in what way, is Macha'a linked to Lashon Hara? Well, that's the question we have to deal with. So here, there are several models in play. Let's start with Rabbeinu Yonah, the Aliyah de Rabbeinu Yonah. So, if you look at Rabbeinu Yonah, this is on the second page, Rabbeinu Yonah says as follows. He says, let me summarize his argument and look at it inside. He says, look, Actually, you know what? Before we see him, before we see them, let's see Tosfot in Erechen, and then that will sort of hint at the direction of Rabbeinu Yonah. So Tosfot in Erechen is dealing with a different problem, right? He's not dealing with the Mechav problem. He's dealing with the problem that we noted in internal to the Gemara in Erechen, which is that the Gemara says, Hei Chidami Lashon Abisha. It seems to be asking for the paradigmatic case of Lashon Hara, but what's the problem, Ezra? That it gives an example which is pretty neutral, right? That there's a fire burning in somebody's house. Why is that Lashon Hara? So Tosfot comes up with the following solution. Tosfot in Erechen, this is the top of the second page, says, Kol milta de amar va beitlat a lit b'mishum lishna bisha perish. Kigam chiehe gavna de nura beiploni, the ikol of de mashma de lo arma mishum lishna bisha. Avalam amar davar kanetor al chaveru, afiloi amar b'fanav it b'mishum lishna bisha. He says there's two types of Lashon Hara. There's negative information, and then there's neutral information, which contextually might be taken to be negative. So this is what he says. He says, look, the Gemara didn't even have to tell you what the paradigmatic case of Lashon Hara is. If you gossip, that's Lashon Hara. If I say that, you know, whoever is a jerk, right, that's, you know, unambiguously negative. So if I say that, that's Lashon Hara. Even if true, definitely true, right? Even if the person that I think is a jerk is in fact a jerk, right? If I say it, that's Lashon Hara. And that's usur in public, in private, lam mishana. So what is the Gemara saying that it's mutter if I'm willing to say it to your face, or I'm willing to say it in front of three? What case is only Lashon Hara if I'm not willing to do that? Something which might be negative or might be positive. So he says, let's take the case where I say there's always a fire burning in such and such's stove. So what does that mean? So it could mean different things. It could mean that Yaakov always has a fire running in his stove. Why? Because Yaakov is the most hospitable person I've ever met. He's always having guests, and anyone who needs food or anyone, right, anybody is, they just had a kid, so they can't cook. He's constantly inviting over guests, cooking for people who can't cook for themselves, for people who are sick, for people who are whatever, people who are in bidud, right? This is a full-time job by Yaakov, right? I'll take it away from Yaakov. Rami, because his father wants him to become a cook this year. Are you also in this? In which case, I shouldn't take it away from you. But I know Rami, this is his, like, one of his secondary goals this year. You also?
No.
Okay, fine. Rami. Rami is cooking all the time, so that could be a compliment. It could be Rami, right? It could be a compliment. It could be neutral. It could be, oh, he's such a Baal Chesed, he's cooking for people in Bidud, and da-da-da-da-da. Or it could be neutral. Rami is trying so hard to be a chef. I don't know if that's good, bad, neutral, whatever. It is what it is.
Chef bad. Can't afford...
Home chef. Whatever. Right? That would be neutral or positive, or it could mean Rami is a glutton. Rami is a mifunat and a glutton. Not only is he eating all the time, but he's so stuck up that he can't handle yeshiva food, so therefore even when yeshiva is giving him breakfast, lunch, and dinner, he needs to be cooking all day, every day, even if that means giving up on seder, because he's such a glutton and such a mifunak, and so, right, he's so whatever, so he's always cooking, right? So Tosfot says, when there's information which could be good, could be bad, so what's the determining factor as to whether it's Lashon Hara? Am I willing to say it to your face or in such a way that it'll get back to you? Right? Meaning if I say something which is objectively negative, so then it's Lashon Hara whether or not I say it to your face. Because everyone understands that's gossip. That's bad. But if there's something which is neutral, so then if I'm willing to save your face. And I wouldn't be embarrassed if I turned around after I said you have to be behind me. So what does that show? I meant it positively. Right? So like, I didn't realize Rami is there. And I say to Rai Wasserman, look, It's an in, out, in, out, Shabbos, whatever formulation it is. I've lost track of all the different variations of you being actually in, right? So whatever it is, and we say, are guys okay this week? Do they have food? And I say, yeah, you know, Rami is always cooking, right? And then I turn around and say, oh, Rami, there you are, right? And I'm not insulted that Rami is there because I didn't mean it negatively. I meant to say, yeah, Rami is going to be fine because he learned how to cook. So then, it's not Lashon Hara. But if we're having a discussion about do people like the chef, and I say, yeah, everyone likes the chef, but Rami, my God, Rami is always cooking, right? And then I turn around, and I'm like, oh, Rami, I didn't realize you were there, and I'm embarrassed, right? Oh, so that shows it's negative. So Tosafot said, when the Gemara says that what determines whether something Lashon Hara is, whether you like to say it to someone's face or say it in public, that's not objectively negative information. That is always Lashon Hara. It's only things where it's contextual. Where if I'm willing to take your face, obviously, or probably, I meant the neutral one, or the positive one. But if I'm not willing to take your face, I'm not willing to say it publicly, I meant it negatively. Yes, Ellie?
Oh, aren't there things that, like, maybe I'm just speaking, like, personally, but, like, negative things that, like, you could say to someone's face as well, like,
Yeah. I mean, we don't mean that, right? We don't mean, like, rebuke, right? Rebuke, right? We all, well, you'll see. Rabbi Yonah is actually going to go in your direction, which is, what about things where they are negative, but I'm willing to say to your face, but for positive reasons, right? You're right. Hold that thought till Rabbi Yonah, okay? We'll see Rabbi Yonah in just a second. Okay, yeah. Ezra, Yaakov, yeah.
So, I know, you said that, like, it's...
Who's he? Okay, fine. Yeah, we haven't read him yet, but yeah.
Okay. And in the first one, where you said, like, if you're scared of the person, then that doesn't count, right? But
Yeah, I can send you, I didn't send it to you, but I can send you my, did I incorporate it into that series, or a separate article that I never published on anonymous sourcing? Maybe, I don't know. At some point I wrote one.
What does it mean by scared by the person?
Like, no, scared.
Like, sort of like physically?
It's not 100% clear. Shlomo Rosner discusses it in his Alei Be'er commentary, the Chofetz Chaim. But let's say definitely physical violence, yeah. Not necessarily. He deals with the question, what about monetary, right, reprisal? Like, I say something to my boss, I'm worried he's going to fire me. Yeah. So I'm willing to be more expansive. So but whatever scared counts.
And if someone, like, really doesn't care, if someone's, like,
so according to Tosafot, it's still Lashon Hara, because, right, I mean, Tosafot is only, this is a rule, it's not a rule, it's when something is unclear, the way, the barometer we use to figure out whether you meant something which could be positive, could be negative, or could be neutral, could be negative, is whether you're willing to say it in someone's face. But if it's clear that you meant it negatively, so then it would be like straight up regular gossip, right? Fine. So with that in mind, yeah.
What about something where you wouldn't want, you feel very sick in their face, but, like, it is positive
in
effect? Like, say, parents, like, you discussed it, like, well, the type of guy in there, you guys wouldn't want to stay in front of that, because the parents that maybe need to take the same way, but,
So, you know, we'd have to talk, right? What about things? I don't know, right? Meaning, presumably it's not Lashon Hara, it's bad, right? Yeah, you could come up with cases. They're clearly not meant as gossip. They're clearly meant constructively, right? Look, obviously there's information you wouldn't say to someone's face that has nothing to do with negative, right? I didn't realize that's what you meant, right? I thought you meant, like, you know, talking to your friends about how dating is going or something like that, right? You don't want to say, you hope that the girl you're dating is not behind you because you're working through things with your friends, right? You're talking it out, right? Obviously it's not negative, you just want to talk things out, right? So obviously there are things where it's more about confidentiality, and right, the reason you don't want to say it in someone's face is because whatever, it's not negative, it's just, right, is this working for me, right? Yeah, obviously there are things like that. I don't think that's Lashon Hara. Right? I have to think about whether you say it's time for that guy to get married. Because that might be, you know, that's probably not negative, but the person might not think of, yeah. This is like classic, and, you know, this is like a very Jewish thing. I don't know how much this happens to the rest of the world, but, like, from Jews, it's like, yes, it's like, You know, he needs to get married. He's so old. He's 22. You know, like he doesn't think that. No. 22 is ancient. He's Yeah. Yeah. Around YU, this is like, obviously happens a lot. You know. I don't know. I don't know. Meaning, look, when I was 22, that was when I had no intention of dating, really, and I had one friend who was driving me up the wall to date, or in specific, right? And he took, I've told you this before, right? It took 5 months of him bothering me every day until I just gave up, and I was like, Ari, if I just go out with her once, will you shut up? I can't deal with it anymore. You're driving me crazy, right? And then I got married 7 months later, but fine, you know, in Hanami. So at 20, I don't know, 20, YU. Of course, then there was the awkward time when one of the Rosh Hashiva in YU asked me a year later, are you in the Parsha? I'm like, I've been married for 6 months, so I guess I was in the Parsha. I don't know what to tell you. You missed that. I don't know.
What?
Oh, yeah, that's yeshivish lingo for are you dating? Like, are you in the parsha of marriage? No, in the parsha is like, are you dating? That's if you're around YU, you got to know the yeshivish lingo, which is are you in the parsha? Is like, are you dating? Like around Lakewood, it's are you out of the freezer? That's the because in Lakewood because. Correct. No, you're not allowed to date for the first 6 months because they don't want people transferring to Lakewood just to say, I'm a Lakewood boy, so they get a better shidduch. So you're not allowed to date for the first 6 months, and they call it that period when you're not allowed to date is called being in the freezer. So they ask you, are you out of the freezer? There's all types of different expressions, yeah.
I mean, literally anyone else that would sound like British. Like, are you out of the freezer?
Again, he's got to know the lingo, Rami.
I mean, like, sounds like a psychopath, like, just like someone's big.
Yeah, that's not what it means. It's the lingo. What do you want from me?
Out of the freezer
is the problem. Exactly. Okay, fine. So, yeah, obviously, you know, you could have cases like that where, you know, it's not, you know, you're not on the same page. Yeah, we could talk about that. Fine. So Ben Yona incorporates this type of insight into his argument. He says, like, Kol Milta B'Dam Rabba Pesmata, Pershua Rabbeinu Zal, Kagon B'Davar Shish Lishmo Bo Shnei Panim. We're talking about something which is ambiguous, right? Lishmo Bo Shnei Panim. It can be understood in two ways. V'Cheivan D'Mit Amra B'Apei Klata, and if you say it in front of three, ein kavanat zesh amra lignut. The person who said it didn't mean that it would be negative. Me'achar shamar b'far hestia. Because he said it publicly. Aval vadai d'davar shagnut kol shekin sheyesh bo mishum lishna b'isha kishamra b'far hestia. But if something is actually negative, so then saying it in public makes it worse, not better. Right? That's intuitive. Right, meaning if you're actually insulting someone publicly is worse than in private. It hurts more. But if it's ambiguous, by saying it in public, we assume that what you're saying is positive. Okay? V'yesh lefaresh d'mayri b'dvarim shemutan l'rim emameh. So we're talking about things that, if true, are permitted to say. But now, he takes a different direction. Because according to Tosfot wasn't talking about macha. So therefore, Tosfot was talking about things that are negative or positive or neutral or negative, right? But Eli asked the question, which is, what if something is negative but permitted? Right? The ambiguity here isn't negative versus positive. The ambiguity is negative and forbidden, meaning gossip, versus negative and constructive, and therefore permitted. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, that's more akin to our sugya. Why? So he says, the case is exactly what Eli said. It is negative, but I'm saying it not because I want to hurt you, but for constructive reasons. Maybe that's more similar to Yaakov's thing. I don't know, right? Because where does the prohibition to hurt someone verbally come from? Don't abuse your friend verbally. The classic cases in the Sugya and Bava Metzia of onat dvarim, of verbal abuse, are Hayya ben Shuva lo yomar lo zechor maseh harishonim. Maseh harishonim. If someone is a Val Tshuva or a second generation Val Tshuva, don't say, remember how bad he used to be or your parents used to be. Utanya kol posel pasul eino amito bonadram gadav daver. Sorry, I went back a line. Utanya kol posel eino midav ber v'shiv chasholam lo vaday dvarim shebeino levet chaviro shein lo katanachi as a tshuva liyad zel chaviro v'hu inu meretzehu midav ber v'shiv o v'sharvesh ochiz behem v'ozim b'meizim v'denu machzim v'hem lo mikreh avohem midrach v'lo v'no mitzvah l'ganoto v'vnei kol adam. He said, now we're not talking about things where someone is a constant sinner. And a constant sinner, you have to call out publicly. If nothing will get them to change. So sometimes shaming is the only way to deal with the problem. He's not talking about that either. You have to warn people to stay away from them. And to shame them into doing the right thing. This is what we mean. That saying in front of three is mutter. Umutar lo lo amra imhu shadavar emet. The ilu b'fnei echad o shnayim amar adavar mechzi mishom lishnabisha. So he says, look, if you mean something constructively, because it's rebuke, or you're trying to warn people to stay away from this bad person, if you say it in private, then what?
I mean, that only
one person can hear. It's not helping. Right? Now, you could have said this, and therefore it is lashon hara if you do it in private, because that shows that you're doing it for the wrong reason. Rabbi Yonah hedges a bit, and he says, the mechzi, meaning, what is mechzi? It seems like lashon hara. According to Rabbi Yonah, in theory, it's possible that you're giving constructive criticism in private, right, or to one or two people, and you're saying it for constructive reasons, but it looks wrong. Right? Because if you really thought that this was positive and constructive, why are you afraid to say it in public? Now, it could be that you just happened to say it, right? Let's take Yaakov's example, right? You would say to somebody's face, you know, it's time to get married. You would say it in front of the whole class, right? You would say, guys, Yeshiva Wife Project, it's time for Rami to get married, right? You'd happily say it. Elamai, not the whole yeshiva's here. And the thought came to you, and it was only two people sitting in the room, right? So it's possible that it's constructive. And the reason that you're saying it in private is not because you're ashamed and not because it's bad and whatever. It's just because only Ellie and Ezra are in the room. Yes, you came in time for shock because no one else is here. Yes, right? Okay. Very good. Well played, well played. So it's possible. Rabbi Yonah says, look, Tosfot says if I do it in private, it is Lashon Hara. If I do it in public, it might not be. Rabbi Yonah says, look, it's possible that in private it's not Lashon Hara either. And the reason you happen to only say it in front of one or two people is because it was, that's who was there. But it's wrong, not because it's definitionally Lashon Hara. If it's constructive, it's not Lashon Hara. But it looks wrong. If there's something that you're saying that could be perceived negatively, but you really mean it constructively, even though it might be negative, but you mean it constructively, you can't do it in a sketchy way because then it looks wrong. It's not even that it is Lashon Hara, it looks like Lashon Hara. And that's also wrong, as we've talked about. Perception is important in halacha. The Mishum Lishna Bisha, Ka'amar Lefishu Rotsu Lidim Gam Kamerim, and then Lashon Hara. Because it shows that you're trying to benefit from Lashon Hara and you're hurting your friend. Avok Sha'omer Bis Lifnei Shlosham Bis Farhesya, Hu Yesh Lidlosham, Bis Gamachi Yiguz Vam Lazma, Yitakein Masak, if I stayed in public, what does that show? Yes, it's negative, but I mean for it to get back to you, because as Ellie said, I'm giving you rebuke. You're not present, but I'm going to plant the seed, right? I want Rami to know that he'd better be dating. He's just, being single is not good for him. He's developing selfish, solipsistic personality traits, right? It's better for him to learn to live for others, I don't know, right? I wanted to get back to him, but whatever. I have no problem saying it to his face, right? I mean it constructively. The Tochacha will get back to him. So Rabbi Yonah says it's not just like Tosfa, that certain things are neutral. Certain things might actually be criticism. But they're mutter if I'm not afraid to say them, because I mean them constructively. I mean them for positive reasons. I don't mean to hurt Rami. Yaakov cares about Rami very deeply. He just understands that Rami needs to be married by the ripe old age of 19. Right? It's very important for Rami's soul. Right? And Yaakov wants to make sure that that happens. He wants to get him out of the freezer right away. Right? Yalla. Fine. I don't suggest it. I'm not saying you should get married late, but 18, 19 is a bit young. A shtickle. Hey, look, I discovered last year, or 2 years ago, I think it was last year, we were doing a panel on, like, dating, because people always want to do a panel on dating, and that was when I discovered that, like, it was me, Ray Ginsburg, and Ray Wasserman, and I discovered I was the oldest of the three of us to get married. And I got married at 23, you know, like, I mean, I knew that about Ray Wasserman, because I knew we got married on the same day, and he's younger than I am, so.
What is he?
I think it was 21. Meaning we're the same grade. He skips a grade and he's like a fall baby and I'm spring. So we got married literally the same day. You know that, right? Like, right? So, you know.
His roommate
set me up, so he came from my wedding.
Was like forcing you, or
yes. His roommate came from my wedding because he was the shotgun. So you know, fine. It's not, yeah. Rabbi Yonah says, "Ukidei sheyishmash bnei adam miranenin alav." Why am I saying this? Because I want people to be talking about him. Because I want to use social pressure to what? Sheyashuv midrachav, to make him do tshuva or get married or whatever the case may be. Va'od, and furthermore, she is Aruah Briyot, Milalechet, Bedrakhav, Shin Shamin, Shabriyot, Meganim, Poly Oven. And in general, people will do tshuva when they hear that people gossip about bad people, or people have flaws. Now, so according to Rabbi Yonah, what's the connection between Lashon Hara and Mecha? It is very simple. Regular Lashon Hara has nothing to do with Mecha. It's specifically this rule that if something is constructive and negative, it's permitted if it's done in a public way, because that shows that even though you're criticizing, you're doing it constructively. And you're using public pressure to make sure that the criticism gets to the right person and that social pressure builds to help him change his ways. And that's only mutter if you do it in public, because then it doesn't look like you're trying to hide it. It looks like you're trying to channel and harness the power of social pressure to get him to improve. That is a good analogy. It's not, Mecha'a isn't Lashon Hara. But analogously, the same social pressures that you're harnessing, which make it permitted to criticize someone in a public forum, because you're using social pressure constructively, is the same social dynamic that you're harnessing to create pressure to make sure that the person you claim is squatting illegally on your land knows that you're coming after him, that you're going to take him to court, he should hold on to his shtar, he should muster his case, he should get his case ready to go to court, right? The same social pressure, same social dynamic that you're harnessing that makes negative information from gossip into constructive criticism is the social dynamic you want to tap into to create an effective mecha.
So,
right? That's Rabbi Yonah's argument. Not a tshuva, but it's going to force him to react constructively, right, positively. Meaning what? Either if he's a thief, he'll give up the land, or if he's not a thief, by putting that criticism out there, gets the ball rolling for him to make his case in court, meaning there's a constructed element to it, and that's why, right, it's that, right, that's the dynamic that he thinks. So does he think that Lashon Hara is gossip? Yes. But he thinks that the reason it's connected to Macha is because this particular rule in Lashon Hara is talking about a very specific type of information, potentially neutral or permitted negative, right, whatever, right, constructive criticism, which is usher done privately and surreptitiously and hiding behind, because then it's clear that you're doing it negatively. But if you do it publicly, then it's clear you're harnessing social forces for positive goods, and then it's permitted. And that's the dynamic that Macha is tapping into. And that's how Rabbeinu Yonah reads the sugya. That's possibility one. The second model is Tosfos. It's straight Tosfos. Right? Which is V'od mitam acher, possibility two. No, more Uraim, which is also, if I do it in private, it looks like I'm two-faced. Because I want to badmouth you without you finding out that I did that. And that's a problem. Because then he, moving to the Lashon Hara, he just says, by the way, the Kolzek Shainalav Ema, Minaisha Hushamidaber Alav. There is an exception to this rule, and that is if you're afraid. If you're afraid. So
of what?
Of the person you're speaking about.
So you think like
So, for example, let's take the example Ezra was asking about. Let's say that someone's boss is Naniach, I don't know. You think your boss is embezzling money, is being sexually inappropriate at work, whatever. Right? So you go to his superior. Why didn't you state publicly? You're doing it for Musser. The answer is, you're scared. You're going to lose your job. Right? So what do? You go to your superior. Right? You have him deal with it. Or your boss's superior. Right? Or whatever. Right? So he says, if that's the case, Yesh L'Eliyado L'Araimo, and the person you're speaking about could hurt you, so then Mutter, Shekvar Amru Mutter L'Hachim L'Rishayim, then it's Mutter to say constructive criticism in private. Because then the reason you're doing it, and this makes sense, because remember, Rabbeinu Yonah said if you do it in private, it's not that it is Lashon Hara. What is it? It might look like Lashon Hara. But if the perception is not that way, right? Now, I do have, there are two different ways I think you could talk about Rabbeinu Yonah, right? One thing. One is that I don't want things to look bad, because in general, Vayitim Nikim Hashem Yisrael, right? You never want to look like you're violating Isser. But it's also possible that the reason Rabbeinu Yonah really cares that everyone understand that what you're doing is constructive is a different reason, which is people might not believe that what you're saying is true if you're not willing to put yourself on the line, right? Right, meaning anonymous sourcing sometimes is questionable, because if you don't have any skin in the game, it's easy to lie. If you're not anonymous, people tend to believe you because you have skin in the game. And it could be that, look, if you're trying to say something constructively, it's only constructive if people believe you. But if you do it in such a way that it calls your motives into question, it's usher, because now it's not going to be constructive. What makes it constructive is people believe you. What makes people believe you is you have skin in the game. And then he says, "Va'od mitam acher ika mishum lishna bisha k'shomer b'fnei echad hashem." It's also lishna in front of one or two. Da'atu, and this is what I just said. Da'atu lemechshadei shema ina dvar mevet. That's the real problem. What I just said is, why do you have to say it publicly? Not just because it looks wrong, but because if you source the net information anonymously, if you're trying to be constructive, it won't be. Anonymous sourcing is hard to be constructive, but people don't always believe it. When you put your name out there, it's important for you to put your name out there so that people believe you, so that it will work. Right? Meaning, if I'm afraid to criticize you, then people might think the reason I'm afraid to criticize you is because it's a lie, so they won't take it seriously. But what made it mutter in the first place was, it was effective. But if it's not going to be effective because you're hiding and no one's going to believe you, so then it's not constructive. If it's not constructive, it's not permitted. Right? So his first possibility was it just looks wrong. His second possibility is no, if you don't do it publicly, it's not just that it looks wrong, it is wrong. Because the only thing that allows you to criticize someone is that it's going to be constructive. But if it's not going to be constructive, you can't do it. You're just, because then you're just bad-mouthing him for no reason. But it's not going to be effective if it's anonymous. Right? So I once wrote an article about anonymous sourcing. I think I included it in the series, but I'm not sure. Right? Where I noted that there's two very different arguments to forbid anonymous sourcing. One is the Urayan, who says that hypocrisy, two-facedness, is lashon hara. So if I'm willing to badmouth you without putting my name out there, that is lashon hara. If I put my name out there, it's not lashon hara. Right? According to Rav Yonah, it's more pragmatic. It is anonymous sourcing tends not to be believed, and if it's not going to be believed, it's not going to be effective. And therefore, there's no reason to spread negative information that's just not going to be, not going to achieve its goal. I need to put myself on the line in order to make it believable. What's the exception for a Ben Yonah? If everyone understands the reason I'm anonymous is because I'm scared, because then people might believe it. Right? Right? So if I, you know, if I'm the anonymous source on the mob, people aren't necessarily saying, aha, he's saying it because he has a vendetta with the mob. It'll be like, no, he likes his head on his shoulders. Right? You know, the mob is no joke. Right? I grew up in Staten Island. You know, the mob is reality. You know, it is. You know. Yeah. Yeah. They filmed part of The Godfather on Staten Island because, like, it's part of the fabric of Staten Island. Yeah, yeah. Fine. And he says, when I say it publicly, if I'm a sapper, who adam kosher, and the person saying it is a good person, hakol yodim shein adam kosher, I'm a sapper, v'divei sheker b'rabim. Everyone knows that you don't just sound gossip in public. V'ein l'shomim l'chosh dos, people won't suspect you. Aval yesh lem lachkor advarim, alochiach ra'ish ahu shem b'sapper l'lavo, tom dvarim ra'im. And then he says, the key to this whole sugya is an erachen. Skipping to the next page, right? Like Tosfot, he says, why does Gemara say it's important to say things in front of someone's face and etc.? Perush, v'kasalka daitiz varm gidufim gamar, since it sounds like what you're doing is just insulting someone, kevin shamazkir maaseh chavera areishonim, since you're saying what he did badly in the past, kevin v'apur v'apim mara, if I say it to your face, or I say it in public, let me mishum lishna bisha, it's not lishna ra. And the Gemara said, why not? Isn't it chutzpah? You're insulting to his face, isn't that worse? And therefore he says, no, that's only when it is something which is not negative. You just go to the underlying part, el mitkavenu shiyishma isa shabriya megana adav yeshiva derachav, midarko. But I'm saying it constructively, and I wanted to get back to you, so I'm not just insulting you, I'm trying to get you to be better. And that's why it is fine. Okay? So according to Rabbeinu Yonah, the reason it's linked to Lashon Hara is not because Macha is Lashon Hara, but it partakes of similar dynamic. Straight up Lashon Hara, you're right, it has nothing to do with Macha. But constructive criticism, which is negative, but it's permitted if it's done in such a way that it's clear that I'm tapping into social forces to improve the sinner in question, and I'm not just bad-mouthing because I feel like it, that dynamic is exactly what Macha is tapping into, and that's the comparison. For the Lashon Hara purposes, what he says is that there's different reasons why something might be permitted if I do it publicly. One is where it is negative, but it's meant as constructive criticism, where therefore if I do it publicly, barring a case where I'm afraid, by doing it publicly I show that I'm not gossiping, or alternatively, by putting my name on the line, I make it true and therefore effective. Right?
Wait, sir, when you say putting your name on the line makes it true?
Makes people believe that it's true and therefore makes it effective. Right? Because if people believe what I'm saying, right? If I say, watch out for Rami, he's dangerous, and I put my name on the line, so then people are more likely to believe me.
Then it
Right? If I say Rami is dangerous, be careful, and then I go into witness protection after putting my name on the line, and I, you know, whatever, people tend to believe me, and then they'll stay away from Rami, no offense. Right? For the record, Rami is a wonderful person. We're just abusing him in a theoretical situation here. What? Experience. So that is how Rabbeinu Yonah understands the sugya. He also discusses it slightly differently in Shari Tshuva. But that is fundamentally the way he understands it. Okay. What about, but so far what we've seen is that not whether you think it's Gilui Sod or you think it's about Two-Faced or this analogy that Rabbeinu Yonah based Bliyus and Lashon Hara, it seems like, according to none of these positions, is Macha actually Lashon Hara, right? Meaning, maybe Rabbeinu Yonah, you could say it is, but it sounds more analogous, I think, than it's actually Lashon Hara. Who is the one Shita who says that the reason the Gemara equates Macha'a with Lishna Bisha is because Macha'a actually is actually just Lashon Hara? Who says that?
Rambam.
Not the Rambam. I mean, it's someone we already saw in the past. Who is it? The Rashbam. Right? Remember, we saw this quote in the Tosfos Rid, where he quotes Rabbeinu Shmuel, right, the Rashbam, who says, this is on the first page, but we already saw it earlier, Rabbeinu Shmuel, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha. Remember, we spent time on Zitzukol. What does Zitzukol mean? Right? Tala Tama Omer Tzaduta Bina Mishimcha Lo Avi Lishna Bisha Vazni V'Omer Le V'Einer Nir Lezeh Bizero. He said, if it's in front of two, it's Lashon Hara, and in front of three, it's not Lashon Hara. So how does Rashbam understand it according to Tosfos Rid? Quite radically, which is Macha only works if it's not Lashon Hara. But if it's Lashon Hara, it doesn't work. And since we know that any bad information said in front of two people is Lashon Hara, and in front of three people it magically is not, so then by saying in front of three people, what do? I make it not Lashon Hara, and therefore I make it Macha. Now, how does that make any sense? So let's look at what he's quoting in the Rashbam. So you could look at the Rashbam inside, or you could look, it's on the sheet, where the Rashbam says, one second. Let's look, and he says, Yeah, look at the Rashbam. Man de Amar, skip down a few lines. Man de Rav Nechshon lit lay the Rav Barav Huna de Bayit Lata. De ha afilu betray avidali gluli elu mechabis neishnayim. Ule inyon lashon hara lit neishnayim lishnabisha eched mit amra kamei trey. He says, look, the machlokes is as follows. Everyone agrees that in order for something to be good macha, it has to be not Lashon Hara. The machloket in the Gemara is whether the heter that makes something not Lashon Hara is saying in front of two or in front of three. According to the one who says that macha can be said in front of two, he also thinks that if something's said in front of two people, it's not Lashon Hara. And it, according to the one who says Macha has to be in front of three, holds it is only not Lashon Hara in front of three. That's what he holds. Uman the Rivnei Shlosha, it means the Rav of Rav Huna, the Bishlosha, the Gili Milta, the Lo Betray. Helkach, the Rivnei Shlosha, the Lo Mecha, the Lo Avi, the Li Gluye. And then if you skip down, he says, V'chol Rav Otenim Afarashem, and why do I say that Mecha actually is Lashon Hara. Digabim Mecha, Nami Lashon Hara Ika. It is Lashon Hara. Why? Digamar Planya Gazlalahu. Very simple. Because what am I saying about Rami? He's a thief. That's an insult. That's Lashon Hara. That's gossip. Zealous. That's all it takes. It is gossip. Right? So that's the position he quotes from his Rebbeim, that in fact, Mecha is Lashon Hara, and for some reason, Lashon Hara is mutter as long as it's in public. Why would he say that? I don't know. Maybe he holds like the Urayim. I don't know. Right? But according to him, basically, he quotes, the way he quotes it from his Rebbeim, at least, is that if it is Lashon Hara, then it's not Mecha. And if it's not Lashon Hara, then it's good Mecha. And the machloket is simply about whether or not it's Lashon Hara. Why is it Lashon Hara? Because it's gossip. Right? But you're allowed to gossip publicly. And that's what he says. Now, he himself doesn't quite like... Now, that's what he quotes from his Rebbeim. Okay? He doesn't like it. He says, V'lav miltehi. I don't think that's true. D'lo dami Lashon Hara klal. It's not Lashon Hara. Why not? Because it's constructive. Lashon Hara is destructive. Yes, it's negative, but why are you being moche? Mishum debein and shiava davar lazer shamachnek and mitzvah lomar k'deishu shavishtaro. You wanted to get back to him, and it's a mitzvah to tell him to let him hold on to his star. That's not Lashon Hara. And therefore, in his own maskana, he says, why do you need three? Not because it is Lashon Hara, but because you're only borrowing one thing from Lashon Hara, and that is Gilui Milta. That three is the magic number for something to become public. So, the Rajbam quotes two positions. The second position is similar to things that we've been saying, which is, yes, Lashon Hara is gossip. No, Mecha is not gossip because it's purely constructive. Why is it that you need three? What is you're not saying that Mecha is Lashon Hara. You're borrowing from Lashon Hara. And saying that something which is public is fine. But what he quotes from his Rebbeim is that no. Lashon Hara, Mecha actually is Lashon Hara because it's saying something bad about somebody. But as long as it remains in the level of petty gossip, then it's not an effective Mecha. But if I do it publicly, then it's not Lashon Hara, and therefore it's Mecha. Now, why is that true? Isn't it still negative? So maybe he holds like maybe his Rebbeim held like the Urayim, that gossip is mutter as long as it's not hypocritical, right? So as long as I'm willing to get, right? If it's done in private, so it's just gossip. If it's done publicly, it's non-hypocritical gossip, and that's permitted. Or maybe his Rebbeim said, look, Mecha that's ineffective is Lashon Hara, like Rabbeinu Yonah. Right? But Mecha that's effective is not, because it's constructive. Now, I don't want to get into it, but this is one of the sources for the Chofetz Chaim when he constructs what you probably heard as a kid, that according to the Chofetz Chaim, Lashon Hara l'toelet, right? Lashon Hara for a positive purpose is permitted. One of the sources for his claim is this Rabbeinu Yonah and this Rashbam, which is that since they both hold that basically Macha'a could have been gossip, but what makes it not gossip is that it's constructive, what that shows you is that there's an exception to the Lashon Hara rule called Lashon Hara L'Toelet. Right? This is one of his sources, because you know people who grew up in the Chofetz Chaim think that there must be a Gemara that says you're allowed to gossip for positive purposes. There isn't. It doesn't exist anywhere. Right? The Chofetz Chaim construction from different sources. This is one of them. Okay? So let's review what we have seen so far. Okay? So we have, again, Urayim thinks that Lashon Hara is about being two-faced, and therefore the reason it's similar to Mecha is simply that just like to make something not two-faced, you have to say it publicly. Mecha needs to be done publicly. Ritva, Hashlama, Rav Chaigon says what we're talking about here is secrets. And the reason it's like Mecha is because it can't be a secret, it has to be public, so that it gets back to the right place. Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rashbam say, no, it actually is deriving from Lashon Hara. In the extreme view from his Rebbeim, is that Mecha is Lashon Hara, but Lashon Hara is mutter in public. And therefore, once it becomes permitted Lashon Hara, so it's Macha. But if it's forbidden Lashon Hara, that doesn't work. For whatever reason, like Rabbeinu Yonah, that it's not going to be effective, like the Urayim, that it's two-faced, I don't know. Or, the way Rashban himself seems to take it is no. We're not saying Macha is Lashon Hara, we're just borrowing the what makes something public. Rabbeinu Yonah is more nuanced, and he says no. There's a certain type of thing which could be Lashon Hara or could be Mutter, and that is constructive criticism. And just like constructive criticism of Lashon Hara is only permitted if I'm going to do it publicly, either because that's what will make it effective, because by having skin in the game, people will believe it. And if they believe it, they'll take it seriously, and then it'll have its desired effect. Or by doing it privately, it looks wrong, and that's bad. But doing publicly doesn't look wrong. The same social effect that makes something from gossip into constructive criticism is that which makes Macha effective. The only exception that he knows is maybe you're allowed to say something privately if you're scared, and maybe that'd be true for Macha also.
You're scared.
You're scared. Scared of the person you're talking about, so that... Because, you know, you say to the right... Why would you report your boss to his superior? There are ways of making things effective without using social shaming to write for it to be effective. There are ways, right? There are ways of doing it. Okay. Now, let us transition. Now that we've seen basically all the models in our sugya, let's now transition for a minute to Lashon Hara. Okay? So according to all of this, what is the Gemara telling you when it says Lashon Hara is much in front of three? Let's review. According to Urayim, you're allowed to say something bad about someone as long as you're not hypocritical.
Yeah.
Right? According to Ritva Rav Chaigon, are you allowed to gossip? If the information is already public, can you continue gossiping?
Yeah.
No. Right? Because he thinks that this halacha only applies to what? Secrets. Things that are... If the issue in question is things that are confidential, so things that are now public, you can spread because they're not confidential anymore. But can you derive from this figure that gossip can be spread once it's public? No. It's only things that aren't negative. They're just private. So once they're public, they're public. Right?
I'm just like wondering in this circumstance, like if this person didn't tell you, but you saw them do something...
One second. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, are you allowed to gossip if something is already known?
No.
The heter of three is only things which are ambiguous or things which are positive in the sense they're constructive criticism or stuff like that. But something which is straight up negative is usher whether it's already known or not. You can't just gossip about people just because people know about it. According to Tosfos in Erechin, are you allowed to gossip if something's already well known? No. Again, shows the things that the heter of apes lata is only things which are ambiguous. But things which are definitely negative are usher always. Right? The Rambam doesn't explain how this is macha, but he weighs in on the Lashon Hara sugya. So if you look at the Rambam has a very, very narrow understanding of this sugya, the Lashon Hara part of it. And the Rambam says, whether I gossip in front of your face or behind your back. Or I say something that will damage you, physically or monetarily. Or even I just want to scare you. I raise a Lashon Hara. But if it was already public, so it's known. So am I allowed to spread it? Yes, because I'm not adding anything. Unless, so if one of the three people in front of whom it was said passed it on again, it's mutter, because it's considered public already. As long as I have no intention of spreading it farther. So the Rambam is a very radical read of this sugya, which is, are you allowed to spread gossip that is already public? Yes. If by you repeating the information, is going to remain as public as it was before. So the Rambam says, I can gossip about information that everybody knows if, in fact, everybody knows it. But if I said in front of three, but I know that you don't know it, so what does the Rambam say? Usher. Meaning, he has a very limited head there. I am allowed to gossip about gossip that's well known, but only if I have no intention of spreading it beyond the people who already know about it.
Also, like, you did go news about, like, your friend, like, who also saw someone else, like, do something.
Correct. That's what the Rambam thinks. That's it. It's a limited, it does give you a head there for actual gossip, but it's very limited to a case in which you have no intention of getting any farther. So three just means that probably people know it. But let's say I know that everyone knows in yeshiva, but that doesn't mean everyone in another yeshiva knows. So then you can't spread it. Right, that's what the Rambam understands this sugya. Okay? Now, essentially, lahalacha, what the Chafetz Chaim does, is the Chafetz Chaim takes the chumros of the Rambam, Rabbeinu Yonah, Tosfot, and the Rashbam, and mixes them all together, right? To create a very, to basically eliminate, right, to say that it's only something which is not actually negative, and you're not trying to spread it, right? Meaning he basically takes the, he says you should be basically machmir for every shita within the Rambam, Rabbeinu Yonah. That's essentially what the Chafetz Chaim does. Okay? Tomorrow what I want to do, okay, or not tomorrow, Thursday. Tomorrow you have a trip.
Yeah.
So I want to wrap this up Thursday, but here's, okay, so when I wrote about it, what I sent you, and, you know, Thursday, let's just sort of flesh it out halachically. This sugya becomes very important in the modern world because often we're not just talking about things that are public in the sense that they're said in front of three. When we talk about information, often we're talking about information that is really universally known, right? Because it was already posted on Facebook, so all of our friends know, right? Or it was in the news, right? It was tweeted out by the president, right? Now, the president maybe it was wrong for him to tweet it out, but he has, you know, you know, whatever, but he has 500 million followers or whatever he has, right? At this point, what am I going to say, right? If he badmouths somebody, the whole world knows about it. So what modern poskim started to ask was, okay, even if you want to take a restrictive view and you want to take, compile the chumros of the Rambam and Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rashbam and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, what if something is universally known? Is that different, right? And the modern poskim have all types of fascinating discussions, like, what if something is universally known, but not universally thought about? Meaning, it fell out of the news cycle. Meaning, a year ago, everybody knew about it, and it was at the top of somebody's mind. Does the Rambam's limitation that you say it without intent to spread it further, does that include a case where I'm spreading to someone who knew about it, but hasn't thought about it in a year, and I bring it to the front of their mind, or I put it back in the news cycle, right? Like, you know, my Facebook says 3 years ago, right, throwback, right, 3 years ago you were talking about this post, and I'm like, hey, no one's thinking about that juicy gossip in 3 years, let me reshare it, remember that, right, is that us, or meaning, it's not, just, right, and what is the status, so in questions of journalism and social media, and the question of the implications of Apei Plata become very, very important. Right, so that was why when I sent you the articles I wrote like 5-6 articles just on dealing with Apei Plata, both in terms of, because now you have to ask it not just for this, you have to ask it for secrecy also, right? The same question can be asked on the Ritva's and Rebbe Chai's model, which is, if something is not secret because everyone knows it, but no one's thought about it in a while, so the person has been able to basically act as if no one's thinking about it, is it usher? Meaning, is breaching confidentiality only where something's actually a secret, or bringing to the front of people's minds something that was hidden, right? So applying Apei Plata in the modern world is a very complicated sugya. So what I want to do on Thursday is just sort of flesh out la halacha to close out the week, and then next week we only have 2 days of shir. I thought we had three, but it's not true. We have shir quality on Tuesday. So we'll do a Pesach sugya for Sunday, Monday. Sunday, Monday, we have shir. Tuesday is shir quality. Wednesday, Thursday is a teal.
Yeah.
No, that's tomorrow.
Oh, what?
It's an overnight.
Oh, it's, the spot.
Where is it? It's Berry Mount, yeah. Okay, fine. So Thursday we'll wrap up this weekend, and hopefully we'll do 2 days of Pesach. We don't have so much time, so...